Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to the Refuge 2017 Married Couples Retreat. Our speaker is Bill Ferris, Christian counselor, pastor, husband, father, grandpa, and lover of Jesus Christ. The retreat is titled Finish Well, taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So grab your spouse, get comfortable together, and prepare to be blessed.
Well, it's good to have Robin here at last, and if you haven't had a chance to say hi to her, please do. She's here, and I'm so happy. Took a little doing, but we got her here. So I just was sitting here tonight, and I just had this inspiration. I'll just share it for what it's worth. But the thing that occurred to me, and I think partially from listening to Holy Mountain having them with us, my encouragement to you and one of the couples that we were sitting with at the table had brought some guests with them that they actually really enabled to come is, some of us older folks, next year, would you pray about a younger couple to bring with you next year? Would you mentor them in that simple way to just say, hey, we do this thing and we would love to have you come at this sort of the front end of your marriage, you know, so to speak, and take some of this in and apply it as you go forward in your lives together. And so I just want to kind of challenge some of us wizened veterans to share the wealth here a little bit with some of our younger generations. And so take that to heart and see if God speaks to you about someone to bring along next time. And I guess if that happened, we'd think we'd need a bigger place, wouldn't we, huh? Yes. So anyway, wonderful. I hope that we haven't just hosed you down with a fire hose too much here this weekend, but I'm going to keep tonight's comments fairly brief and to the point, but this is truly one of the most application-oriented. I do have some scripture to take us to more at the end of this talk tonight, but I'm really thinking more about some things that I think you'll enjoy grasping about how to change the temperature of your relationship, how to change the temperature of your relationship. Did you know that your relationship has a temperature? It does. It could be cold. You know, this is sometimes people speak of a relationship as cold, and there's some music that goes with that. Anybody know a song about a cold relationship? Foreigner, you know, you're as cold as ice, right? You're willing to sacrifice our love, right? Okay. And then there's kind of lukewarm, you know, kind of middling temperature of relationship. You know a song about that? You don't bring me flowers anymore. In fact, that song goes on to say, it used to be so natural, used to be, to talk about forever. But used to be's don't count anymore. They just lay on the floor till we sweep them away. Now, I'm going to assert this. I have a pet peeve song. You know, do you guys have a song that you just really kind of hate, you know? And not because it's necessarily bad music or a bad artist, but just because it just hits you the wrong way. I got one of those, and it kind of fits in this lukewarm category. It's Willie Nelson. Okay, it's Willie Nelson singing, "You Were Always on My Mind." I never said anything to you. I never told you how I felt. But hey, you were always on my mind. I mean, what a weenie. If you know? If she's on your mind, say something to her for crying out loud. How about a warm to hot relationship? Now I got a throwback. I think Bill will know this one. Some of us that are a little bit more of a certain generation will understand Van Morrison. It's warm love, it's warm love, and it's ever-present everywhere, and it's ever-present everywhere. that warm love. And that song goes on to sing, this is a different song. But then this is a little 80s-ish. And we lost Al Jarreau last year, but you'll recognize these lyrics. It's like a diamond ring, it's a precious thing, and we never want to lose it. It's like a favorite song that we love to sing every time we hear the music. Okay, sing it with me, everybody. We're in this love together. We got the kind that lasts forever. Yeah, that's good with the fingers. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, it's getting sweeter all the time. Nicely done. Nicely done. That's warm. Isn't that warm? That just warm you up. So tonight I want to talk to you about warming the temperate. You get it out of that cold as ice zone and get it out of the Willie Nelson area and right on up into the Al Jarreau Van Morrison, you know, zone here a little bit. Once you understand the power that you have to do this, you can begin turning the temperature up on your relationship right away. So how can we raise the temperature of our relationship? Well, I'm going to introduce a concept to you called warm emotional memories. Warm emotional memories, or we'll call them for short, WEMs, okay? W-E-M. Warm emotional memories, or WEMs. And it's by creating warm emotional memories that we actually can change the temperature and warm our relationship. In fact, we saw Bill do that just a few minutes ago as he relived, and he and Joy relived the warm emotional memories of their children in the custom swimming pool that they had. But you saw the joy as he was reliving not just those pictures and that scene, but the feelings of delighting in their play and delighting in the sort of the improv of the whole situation. And that's what an emotional memory is. It's not just a reflection or a memory, but a emotional memory, a memory accompanied by feelings. And we all have two kinds of memories, at least. There's probably others. I'm not a neuroscientist, but I can tell you about two. One is what we call cognitive memory, frontal lobe memory, your phone number, you know, and things like how many ounces are in a cup and where 1 Corinthians comes in the order of the New Testament book, stuff like that. Stuff that you recall, but you don't necessarily feel much about, you know. And so that is cognitive memory. But we also have this other kind of memory, and these are called emotional memories. These are things we remember with feeling and emotion rather than pure cognition. Now, a couple things about emotional memories are really important to this discussion. First of all, when they come on by association. They are awakened by association. We could say they are triggered, and that can be a really nice, happy thing. Other kinds of not-so-warm emotional memories can be triggered as well. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's focus for a second on the fact that we can relive warm emotional memories because of associations that awaken them, and we start to feel things and remember things purely because of these associations. So, for example, you hear a favorite song from high school on the radio one day, kind of out of the blue, one of your very favorites pops up on the playlist, and all of a sudden you're transported, aren't you? You didn't have to try hard. You didn't have to double down like trying to remember a math solution. You just suddenly were awash in memories and feelings. Oh, I know just where I love that song. I know just where I was, who I was with, what I was doing. And you're reliving all of this stuff just because of the association that that music makes for you to something warm emotionally inside. And that's how these warm emotional memories work. Without trying, you're suddenly awash in feelings you associate with that trigger. Also, you might remember people, sounds, smells, scenes, all kinds of things can evoke and associate to a warm emotional memory. It's powerful. And if you hear it again, that song, the next day, you'll still have quite a reaction to it. The thing is, if you hear it for the next 6 days in a row, it'll start to lose its luster because your other brain will chime in and say, hey, that was then, this is now, you know, let's file that away under high school, and you're not in high school anymore. You know, and so it starts to begin to lose its effect with that many repetitions that fast. But 2 years goes by and suddenly it pops up again, you're going to have exactly the same response of that strong emotional association. Why is that? Because emotional memories don't really lose, they're not really time-stamped. They don't really lose their capacity to be stimulating and memorable and emotional just because of the passage of time. I suppose it's just the way God made our brains to store these things. They tell us that these memories are stored in parts of the brain called the hippocampus, and it's a different part of the brain that stores cognitive memory. And so we really have a different reaction to these things. So this doesn't just affect music or high school. There's any number of things that can evoke a warm emotional memory, and this can work for us or against us as a couple. Because not only are warm emotional memories potentially evoked by association, but also negative emotional memories. But let's talk for a second about how then to warm the temperature of our relationship with new warm emotional memories. And this is, if there's a trick to this, and I'm using that word broadly, just to say that warming the temperature of our relationships comes down to doing two things well. One is making new warm emotional memories, updating our warm emotional memory catalog, adding to it, and reliving older ones. Reliving older ones. Both of those things can have a wonderful effect on restirring and rekindling beautiful, warm emotional feelings. You know, reliving your favorite old whim. You know, we wember whim, you know? Sounds like Elmer Fudd up here. Let me show you how effective this is when it comes to reliving old whims. Right now, see if you and your spouse can take just a moment and recall a single emotional, warm emotional memory from your dating days. Go back to your dating days. Now, some of you that are newlywed, this is easier for you in that sense. But come up with one emotional memory that you can both identify from your dating days, and just relive it for just a second together. I hear giggles. I see blushing. Girls, what car did he drive when you first met? Remember that old car? I liked the couple up here, and she had the hip hugger belt on. I thought, okay, that takes me back a little bit, right? What clothes did she wear? Did she wear bell bottoms back in those days? I know I'm talking to a certain generation, or if we update to a little bit more 80s or 90s or millennial, you know, what clothes did she wear that first time you went out on a date, or that memory? So we could go on with lots of associations. What makes you feel so good about that memory? What do you enjoy about that memory? I'm going to embarrass my wife just for just a moment here to say that there is a park in Anaheim off of Harbor Boulevard, not too far past Lincoln, that we would go to sometimes and make out. And I know right where that park is. It was over by the tennis courts. And I have some very sweet emotional memories about being with Robin. We were a little younger back then. All right. Whims can be joyful. They can be humorous. I like the story of Frank dressing up in the tuxedo and the cowboy boots, was it, or whatever, shorts, to pick up Kathy at the airport. Humorous. They can be sweet. Oh, remember that time when, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, that one time when he was really nice to me back a long time ago. still sort of grasp onto it as just, he is capable of that, actually. It could be sexy. I like that warm emotional memory, yeah. Hey, keep that temperature, you know, keep that temperature not too hot yet, till later. It could be fulfilling. Remember that time we accomplished that thing that we had, you know, we redecorated the house, or we watched our child graduate from kindergarten or high school, or you know that time you got that promotion, or, you know, it can be fulfilling, it can be special, like one of a kind, something that never happened again, unique. It can be a lot of different things. The more details that you can recall, the better. That it sort of colors in that emotional rush you begin to feel, and you keep going. You know, next time you're out to dinner, driving home from the retreat, pull up a couple old warm emotional memories and relive them, and just kind of fill in some of those blanks and add a few of those details and compare notes and giggle and laugh and feel the love and the goodness, because that's how it works. My parents were an interesting couple. They met at a Lebanese New Year's Eve party in New York City way back when. My father was born in 1904, and my old man was my old man because he was 52 when I was born. I'm the youngest by 9 years. My mom was 13 years younger than my dad. And so they had a whole life together with my three older siblings before I ever came along. And as I like to say, I saw that the door was about to shut, and I just jumped in the last second into the Ferris family. They, sadly, when I was about five, they came into a season of conflict that they actually never recovered from. They fought loudly and often, not physically, but verbally, angrily. Often, from my age five forward, my mother had something like a nervous break, what they used to call a nervous breakdown, a depressive episode. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now a lot better. And there was a real breakdown. They lived in separate bedrooms, and they didn't divorce, but they really lost their warmth. The relationship went cold. And it went cold all the way through my youth and my teenage years and on into the time that I left Arizona, where I grew up, for California, and got married at age 20. And we went on with our life. My parents still never really recovered from their mutual woundings. Then something interesting happened. My mother developed Alzheimer's disease. And she began, over a 10-year period, to go through that process that you all know about, which is the loss of memory. Begins with the loss of memory. First things like she couldn't make change anymore, and then later on, it became more profound. But there was a point at which my mother forgot she was so mad at my father. And here came this warm season, like a tropical breeze, back into their relationship. That was a wonder to behold. My father was so thrilled and happy that my mother didn't remember she was so mad at him anymore. And they would put on the Lawrence Welk tapes and dance around the living room and sit down and sing all the old songs. And they just had this little renaissance in their relationship, as long as my mother could, you know, function in that situation, and my father could sort of take care of her. And then it eventually went on to the point where she really was not safe to have at home anymore, and he was much older and couldn't take care of her anymore. And it sort of came and it went. But it just was such a sort of a stunning picture of how this warm emotional memory and negative emotional memory thing worked out in their life. So reliving warm emotional memories of the past is one way to warm the temperature, but there's another thing, and that's making new warm emotional memories. So as you may have guessed, this is the other way to warm up your relationship. So that's things like date nights. And one of the first things I like to ask couples when we're in counseling is, do you have a date night? Do you have times that you do things together on your schedule regularly? Another thing we learned from an old pastor that we served under for 10 years was a thing that he and his wife called mini moons, which is they actually told all of us staff members of the church, every quarter you're to take 24 hours. You don't come into work. You take a 24-hour period for just have for you and your spouse. If you go out of town, that's great or whatever, or just kind of barricade yourself off from the world in your home or whatever you want to do. But take this time just for the two of you every quarter. And then once a year around, usually around the anniversary, if possible, he gave us 2 days, 48 hours off. And just said, you know, you and your wife just have a great, great little mini moon. And so Robin and I still try to organize and schedule those mini moons when we can as well. So those are things that are create new warm emotional memories. Things like gifts and special acts of kindness. In fact, if you want to be successful at creating new warm emotional memories, one of the best ways to do it is to learn your partner's love language. And then create new experiences around their love language. What do I mean by love language? As a lot of you know this this term from the work of Gary Chapman. But the five love languages are acts of service. Some people are really oriented to getting their love tanks filled when they experience being on the recipient of acts of service and kindness. That's their number one way of experiencing the feeling of being loved. Another one is quality time. Some people crave quality time as a way of experiencing love together. And so setting aside those mini moons, those date nights, whatever it might be, just having quality time together is another way of experiencing that. Gifts. Some people are gift-oriented, and they really like receiving a gift. Could be big, could be small, but they like that physical gift that just gives them that feeling of being loved and noticed. Could be flowers, could be any, could be anything. Touch, physical touch is the fourth one, and so that the experience of being physically touched and caressed is maybe some of our folks here, their number one way of getting their love tank filled, experiencing love. And the fifth one, words of affirmation. Some people are oriented toward renewing their feelings of love and warmth by hearing and words spoken of affirmation, affection, love, commitment, and all those sort of things. And so what is your partner's key? Like, we all like all that stuff at some level, right? But like, where is our major and where is our minor on that list? Where is your partner's major? Where is your partner's minor on that list? So again, acts of service, quality time, gifts, touch, words of affirmation. One of the things that might be good for you to do would be to have a conversation with each other about those five things and say, I think I really am drawn to most feeling loved when I, you know, receive a gift or when I hear those words or whatever it is, sharing that information and then building your new emotional memories that you're going to make to include your partner's favorite way of experiencing the feeling of being loved. So, this can take us into some new adventures. We can discover a new place together and get a new setting, a new place to experience warm emotional memories. A time in prayer or worship you both enjoy or appreciate. A meal that recently got cooked, you know, that's another way to just to do that. I do almost all the cooking at home, and I've kind of branched out now to where I'm actually trying out new recipes, and my wife and our other people in our home, they're kind enough to go with my experiments, you know, and see what happens. But we make new warm emotional memories that way, and maybe once in a while a negative one. But anyway, an act of service your spouse did for you or that you did for them. So if I had time, I would actually just ask you now to have a little conversation about which you think might be your top love language, but make a note to have that conversation at some point soon and compare notes and then kind of work your new emotional memories around that. Now here's the other thing. We do make negative emotional memories. NEMS, We have WEMs and NEMs, right? Negative emotional memories. And so as you may have guessed by now, those NEMs are real, and they also have the capacity to be triggered and relived emotionally as well. And they can be awakened by association, just as warm emotional memories can be awakened by association. Any of you know the old Abbott and Costello skit, Niagara Falls? Slowly I turned, inch by inch, step by step, awakening a negative emotional memory every time the fellow heard the words Niagara Falls, and then he went into a sort of a trance, Niagara Falls, slowly I turn, and he starts reliving this thing. So we can just sort of relive this sort of Niagara Falls experience where something triggers a negative emotional memory and we start to relive it. And listen, it's not because we're sitting there trying to do it or trying to conjure it up. It just comes over us like a warm one can. And suddenly we're feeling all of that tension and all of that hurt and all of that anger and sadness and offense. And wow, there it is. There's that negative emotional memory because of that name, because of that place, because of that thing that happened, whatever it is that we associate with it. And there it is all of a sudden. And they're powerful too. And so what are we going to do about that? There are some antidotes to those. And we want to kind of get back on a positive track to say a couple of ways that we can deal with those negative emotional memories, besides how we've already talked about them today earlier in the forgiveness section of the talk and so forth that we had earlier, is we can create alternative memories. Now, this is. Let me give you the concept, and then the applications will make themselves available to you as you need them. But here's the concept. The concept is go to the scene of the crime if you can, so to speak, and make a new warm emotional memory in the same place or something that kind of attaches to the same trigger as an alternative to the negative one. So just an example, let's suppose that you had a kind of a real big bad fight in the car one day. And now, you know, when you get into the car, you don't know why you suddenly sort of feel tense and upset, you know. Well, go to the car together and make a warm emotional memory there. Spend some time. Yeah. Okay. So whatever that looks like for you. And... But create some kind of a moment. Maybe you're gonna pray there together. Maybe you're going to speak words of affirmation and forgiveness. Whatever it might be, you're going to create a new memory in that same place, so that the association now has an alternative. Now I've done this with clients in some pretty serious ways. I actually. Went with one gentleman when his wife was cheating on him. He saw her one time at a particular restaurant in our town. And every time he'd think of that place, he would just get angry and frustrated. Now, their marriage was being restored, and in fact, it's going very well. There's been a lot of repentance and healing and change, but doesn't matter. Every time he sees that restaurant, he goes right back into that angry, hurtful place. So one day I met him there in the parking lot. It's in my town. I met him there in the parking lot, and I said, you and I are going to walk into that restaurant together, and we are going to... First of all, we sat in the car, and he told me the story. He told me what happened that day he saw her with that other man there in that restaurant, and we talked about it and so forth, and then we went into the restaurant together, into the lobby area. We didn't have a meal, but we sat in the lobby for a few minutes, and we just prayed, and we prayed in the car, and then we sat in the lobby, and I just, you know, we just prayed, and we just asked God to meet us in that place, in that moment, in that memory, and then I asked the hostess if she would get us a card. Well, she didn't have a card, but she had a paper menu, so she gave us the menu. I said, I want you to take this memento home to remind you that you were here with me, and we were here with God, and God was here with us. And when you think of this restaurant, you won't just think of her, with that other man now, you'll think about how you're being healed and how she's with you and how you are healing your marriage and how you and I were here with God. And when you think of that restaurant, that's your alternative memory now. And we can do that with negative emotional memories as a couple. We can find a replacement alternative if we can kind of get as close to the trigger point as we can, whatever that might be. And so let's think of good places to make alternative warm emotional memories would be your bedroom, near a computer, possibly. There's a lot of good locations to make new warm emotional memories to combat and to give you an alternative to negative ones, and we could go on with that. But another antidote to negative emotional memories is to invite the Holy Spirit into them directly to heal and release you from them. Now, the Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And so God knows about your negative emotional memories, and He knows about those triggers, and there is no place He is not. And He was there when this negative emotional memory was initially made and hatched. So inviting God's light and God's grace and God's presence into our hurtful emotional memories allows our weaknesses and pain to meet His goodness, strength, and redeeming love. And so another way to disarm, shall we say, or overcome negative emotional memories is to invite the Holy Spirit to meet us in them. As a couple, we can do that too. We can pray and say, Lord, we've been in such conflict and such hurt and such pain. These triggers come up. Would you meet us now in our pain and in our hurt and in our frustration and in our sadness? And would you bring your light and your grace and your kingdom? And would you heal us? And now you share that moment together. Now you have an alternative to the ugly feelings that you would otherwise feel all by themselves. And you can say, but God was with us. God was here. And we can experience that goodness. Finally, another antidote to negative emotional memories is to literally overcome them with more whems than nems. More warm emotional memories than negative emotional memories. In fact, some people that understand this stuff better than I do and how the brain works, they say, if you can have 5 positives for every negative, you'll erase, not erase, you won't eliminate, like you'll still can remember negative ones, but the impact of them will be neutralized to that part of you that recognizes your partner as a loving, good person to be with. So you try to get to a 5-to-1 ratio. Now that sounds like a lot. Like, how are we ever going to do that? But here's the good news. The warm emotional memories, 5-to-1, they don't have to be the same size as the negative ones. They can be actually very simple. So, for example, what happens after you and your partner maybe have a little breakdown or a little fight or a little tussle or a little problem, and then you come and you bring a card or some roses or some kind words of humility or you pray a prayer or whatever, anything like that that's positive and warm emotionally, keep pouring on 5 of those, and try to literally just overcome the impact of the negative one. They don't have to be the same size as the negative one. And over time, you will begin to neutralize the negative associations and amplify the positive associations to where you can actually overcome the impact of the negative ones and have more of that brain training that recognizes our partner as good and desirable and loving and kind and close, and I want more of him or her in my life, and so forth. And so these are all ways that we can do that. The last thing I want to say, and I actually did a whole teaching on this. It's on a YouTube video. I did a whole teaching on using your equipment, your body, your mind, your prayers, it doesn't cost you anything, what you already have, what you have with you all the time, using these things as tools to heal relationships. So I'm just going to talk about three parts of your body that you can use to create warm healing moments between you and your spouse. And the first one is to tame your tongue. By taming your tongue, you will not create negative emotional memories that you'll later have to go back and repair. We know this from the book of James. He is so insistent that we understand the power of our tongue to set things on fire. And so I know it feels good sometimes to just let it hurl, let it loose, spit it out, and say the most awful things. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, those are negative emotional memories that we're creating in that moment that are really, really tough. However, the Bible also tells us that the tongue of the wise and words spoken that are healing words can heal to the bones. And so our tongues can do a lot by either creating new emotional warm memories or by creating negative emotional memories. And so bite that tongue, restrain that tongue. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so really creating with our, just using the power of the tongue positively to create warm emotional memories and restraining it from creating negative ones is so essential. There's a couple things I could say about this. I'm just going to say one thing about this given the time we have, and that is that I once did something in counseling. I still believe it was a really good idea. It was sort of a, I'm going to go with this because I feel inspired to, but I never had done it before. But there was a couple that came to see me a couple of times. They were really stuck because when he would get angry, well, she would talk a lot. She would just talk, and sort of talk him into a fury. You know, just he would just like, stop it. Just stop talking, you know. And she just wanted to talk so much. And so how he put out that fire was he would turn on her and he would call her the most vile. These are Christians. The most vile, horrible names. Things that I would, in my worst moment, couldn't imagine saying to my wife. And he would just let a torrent of these things and just shred her and shut her up. It worked. It shut her down. And then, you know, they would tell me about this and they would both grieve about it, you know, but she would be completely plastered by this, and he would be like, yeah, he kind of felt bad about it, but you know, what else could he do, and whatever. So, okay, here goes. So I actually had them list the actual words, that the names that he called her. I said, I want to write them down. Tell me the actual. So between the two of them, they came up with quite a list. And by the way, he would sometimes do this to their daughter, too. And I said, well, I want all those words. And then I said, now I'm going to do something here. I've never done this before, but I don't think, sir, you're getting the impact. I don't think you're present to what's happening. So then I without a lot of emotion, but I literally turned to his wife and I started calling her all the names he called her as he listened. And I said, how does it feel to hear your wife? And then I did it about his daughter. I started calling his daughter all the names he called her. And the shame, I mean, he heard, he got it. He got the message. He heard me say what he didn't hear himself say, and it shattered him. And it gave us a place to work from. That I sort of shuddered at the sort of the intensity of just, I wasn't even yelling. He yells these things. He screams these things. I wasn't even yelling them. I was just saying them in a normal tone of voice. But he was reduced. And I said, look, you're a firefighter. You would save my life. You would die for her. You would die for your daughter. You would let your body be damaged for them. I know your heart. You would give your life for them. But look what happens when you let your tongue loose on them. You're killing them. And it was an extremely powerful and intense session, after which I really needed to take like a mental spiritual bath, because it was intense. But it gave a moment, a way for this man to hear what he didn't hear himself saying. And I'm telling you this, we say these things in anger, and then if we could see them and hear them played back, we'd say, I never said that. I would never call her that. I would never call him that. I would never say those things about his family or whatever it is. And then if we could hear it back, we'd be going, oh my God, I said that? James is right. We have got to watch our tongue. It sets things on fire if we just let them run. Well, that was a little light topic there. Second thing, but of course, affirming with our tongue. Doing what Willie Nelson couldn't bring himself to do. Tell him, your love, your affection. Speak that warmth in. We were at another retreat earlier this year. Robin and I were invited to lead another retreat for a different church in January. And they did a really cool thing. They put a little frame in all of our bags, like you got your gift bag. They put a little frame in all of our bags. And it had a thing with a pen you can write in, like an erasable pen. And the permanent part of what was behind the frame, it said, I love you because, and then there was like a blank space, and then you could just write, you know, a little phrase or word in there, and then just leave it for your partner to discover in the bathroom area there, or on the kitchen table, or whatever it is. And so Robin and I were doing that for a while, where we were like writing, and then you would walk in, I'd walk into, you know, my sink area in the bathroom, and I'd go, oh, look, you know, and then I would write it back, and I'd leave it for her, you know. So just even writing the words, even just expressing those things, warm emotional memories come. Now, affirming with your eyes, the Bible tells us the Lord hates haughty eyes. Listen to that. In Proverbs 6:17, the Bible says the Lord hates haughty eyes. What does that mean? It means prideful, harsh, arrogant looks, eyes. The Lord hates that. And so using our eyes, the Bible says in Matthew 6:22 that our eyes are a lamp of the body. If therefore your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. So using our eye contact to create warm emotional memories. You know, a lot of times couples, when they first get together, they just do a lot of staring at each other, into each other's eyes. Why is that? Well, it goes all the way back to the first paradise we ever knew as human beings, when we were newborn babies staring into the eyes of our mothers. It's paradise. They tell us that there's a lot of neurological things that are happening, a lot of brain stuff that's happening when mother and daughter, mother and son, mother and baby are doing all of that eye contact that they do as newborns. And fathers, you can get in on this too when you hold your son or daughter and you just do that staring thing and that beautiful admiration and that love and that total acceptance of that tender little life, and he or she's looking right back at you into your eyes, and you don't have the capability of speaking. You can't have a conversation in any other way, but you're having a super big conversation with your eyes looking into each other. I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here 37 years later, one of my favorite warm emotional memories with my son Christopher, when he was born 37 years ago, was holding in my arms for the first time in the hospital and looking into his eyes and having him look back at me and saying, you and I are going to have a lot of adventures together. And boy, have we ever. But that paradise of wordless bonding with the eyes is something that couples often will do when they begin to bond as a couple. They'll just spend time using their eyes to communicate love and affection wordlessly, just staring at each other, hardly having to say much of anything at all, just enjoying the gaze eye to eye. It's so intimate and so beautiful. And the last one is using warm, affirming touch, using your hands in warm, affirming touch. Did you know that there are 19 separate incidents in the Gospels where Jesus' touch, or in one case, somebody touching Jesus' hem of his garment, but 19 cases where his touch is associated with healing. Healing touch. Now, there's a picture on your wall right there. I'm going to ask you, without any prompting whatsoever, whose hands are those? Exactly. I did this with another group, and everybody, no hesitation, Mother Teresa. How did you know that? You don't see her face in the picture. But look at those hands. Those hands have held the dying and the sick. Those hands have touched, in the name of Jesus, the complete cast-offs of society, the rejected, the unwanted. Imagine those withered hands of hers, how Jesus used her touch to communicate the love of God. But you've got hands too, beloved. Jesus can use your hands too to communicate his touch. 19 times in the Gospels, he healed with touch. We can heal with touch in his name, in just the simple caressing and the gentle and loving and warm touching. Sometimes just taking a hand, not even saying anything, can just mean so much. Just that touch. Powerful, warm, emotional memory. I want to close with this passage from Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. Truly, for me, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. It talks about this time when, quote, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. This was not to heal them. He did not preach to them and he did not heal them. Let's see. Why did Jesus want to place his hands on them? What was his motivation? What was his purpose? Well, let's find out. First of all, the disciples rebuked the parents and the children for bringing them to Jesus to do this. The word rebuke there is literally rebuke, meaning cut it out, stop it, get away. It's the same word that it speaks of Jesus rebuking a demon. Okay, it's like, cut it out, get away. And Jesus is angry and incensed at the disciples trying to stop. Because the disciples are thinking, this is the master, he's important. We don't have time for this stuff. Get these kids out of here. This is the rabbi. This is the teacher. He's got to speak to us. He's got work to do. The Father's work to do. You know. And so they're all. And Jesus is saying, stop it. When Jesus saw this, he was, listen to this word, he was indignant. He was mad. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. That was it. That was the whole purpose. Just to give them the touch of blessing. And Jesus said, this is kingdom. Me using my hands to put on these children in love and affection is kingdom of God. This is the heart of the Father. Don't you dare try to stop this, disciples. This is the most important thing I could possibly do right now. I talk about this in my book, How Healed Do You Want to Be? There's an old version of King of Kings, D.W. Griffith's silent movie, black and white version of the King of Kings story. And there's a reenactment of this scene in its simple black and white old school Hollywood way, silent movie way. And the scene begins with Jesus and this passage of scripture on the screen explaining that the scene is going to show Jesus blessing the little children. And there's a little girl that comes up to Jesus and she looks up at him. She says, and this, you know how it is in silent movies, "I hear you can heal." And Jesus looks at her and smiles. And she holds up her little stick doll that the leg had come out of. And she gives it to Jesus. Jesus takes the doll and he looks at the little leg and he puts it back in the stick doll and he fixes it up and he hands it back to her. Now, I don't know that that actually happened. The Gospels don't give us that exact story, but it so could have happened in my mind. Jesus saying, "What's important to you is important to me, and you need to know that. I'll take the time to meet you where you need to be affirmed." If we could do that as couples to one another, meet each other where we need to be affirmed, we could make new warm emotional memories and we could raise the temperature of our relationships. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the equipment that you have given us, eyes and tongues and hands and hearts, bodies and souls, prayers and words, places to go, things to do, things to share that create warmth between us. Please help us to make time, to make space, to feed this part of who we are. As we are doing this very weekend, making time, making space to connect and renew and refresh. And would you inspire us, Lord, to just take new initiatives, make new warm memories and make new alternatives to old, painful memories. And Lord, may you be glorified, and may every marriage here be warmed as that happens. In Jesus' name.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
We hope this recording has drawn you closer to each other and encouraged you in your journey together with Jesus Christ. To hear more podcasts by Bill Ferris, go to Spreaker.com for his podcast and Slideshare.net for his slides by searching on his name. For more information about Refuge Huntington Beach, go to refugefamily.com or call the office at 714-891-9495. Grace and peace in the strong name of Jesus.